I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. Large parts of Emilia-Romagna in the northeast of Italy remain on red alert as water levels in some areas continue to rise. At least 9 people have died and 13,000 have been evacuated. 2 days of heavy downpours saw 21 rivers burst their banks. The mayor of the city of Bologna, Matteo Lepore, told the BBC the region was vulnerable to climate change.
In general, the Emilia-Romagna region and Pianura Padana is close to the sea, is close to many rivers, and we have to also defend many infrastructures. We need a new strategy to tackle the climate crisis.
Western officials say Ukraine's army is preparing for a long-awaited counter-offensive against Russia's invasion. They said the success of its operation should be measured not by territorial gains, but how likely it was to influence President Putin to change his military strategy. James Landale reports from Kyiv.
Slowly but surely, Ukraine's getting ready to launch a huge assault on Russia's invading forces. Western officials said its army was at an increased state of readiness, with core capabilities coming together, including the ability to deploy tanks, fighting vehicles and combat engineers, as well as clearing mines, bridging rivers and striking targets at long range. They said, by contrast, Russia's forces were in a parlous state, but their defensive lines were potentially formidable.
The head of the UN has hailed the latest renewal of the deal that allows the export of Ukrainian grain via the Black Sea, saying it would allow vital supplies to reach some of the world's most vulnerable people. Antonio Guterres was speaking after Russia agreed to a 60-day extension, with only a day to go before it expired.
The continuation is good news for the world. Outstanding issues remain, but representatives of Russia, Ukraine, Turkey and the United Nations will keep discussing them. I hope we will reach a comprehensive agreement to improve, expand and extend the initiative, and I want to convey my appreciation to all those taking part in the negotiations in a spirit of constructive engagement.
More than 30 million tonnes of foodstuffs have been exported since the accord was brokered by the UN and Turkey last July. 4 indigenous children have been found alive in the Colombian rainforest, more than 2 weeks after the crash of the small plane they were travelling in. Soldiers had been searching with sniffer dogs after the plane disappeared in dense jungle in the south of the country. Earlier this week, the bodies of the pilot and 2 adult passengers were found. The children are believed to be between 11 months and 13 years old. You're listening to The World News from the BBC. A spokesperson for Prince Harry and his wife Meghan has said the couple were followed by the paparazzi in several cars for over 2 hours in New York. A statement described the incident as a near-catastrophic car chase. The couple got into a taxi at one point. Its driver told the Washington Post that he never felt in danger. Montana has become the first state in the US to ban the Chinese-owned video-sharing app TikTok from operating in the state after the governor signed legislation passed last month. Governments around the world have restricted the use of the app from work phones, concerned that the Chinese government could use it for surveillance and accessing information. TikTok denies that it shares data with the Chinese government. The International Monetary Fund has approved a $3 billion bailout program for Ghana. The country has struggled to cope with soaring inflation, debt, and the falling value of the local currency. The first part of the loan, worth about $600 million, is expected to be given to Ghana immediately. The earliest and most comprehensive Hebrew Bible has fetched more than $38 million at auction in New York. The Codex Sassoon reached one of the highest prices for a manuscript sold at auction. Jay Sung Lee reports.
Sotheby's said the manuscript was bought by a former U.S. diplomat, Alfred H. Moses. As the president of the American Jewish Committee, he intends to donate it to a Jewish museum in the Israeli city of Tel Aviv. Experts believe the document, which is thought to be more than 1,000 years old, offers a critical link between Jewish oral tradition and the written Hebrew Bible. It's named after one of its previous owners, David Solomon Sassoon, who acquired it nearly 100 years ago. The Hebrew Bible has huge religious significance, as it is important not only to Judaism, but also to Christianity and Islam.
And that is the BBC News.